Dukes and Bell live from Buffalo's Cafe, guys. Come out and hang out with us. Got to give a big shout out to Matt Ward and his son who stopped by earlier. They are listeners, and Matt and his son came in and we're hanging out. Good to meet you guys. And we've got a bunch of guys at the bar here hanging out as well. Savannah's at the bar. She can take care of you. Come on, come through, man. 3446 Winder Highway is where we're at. Hey, coming up, 3 o'clock hour, we'll get you caught up around the NFL and what's going on. Also, our conversation with Tyler Allgeier. But before we get to that, Rook Arouro stopped by the morning shift. We expect big things out of Rook. And the first thing Mike Johnson and Bo and Allie asked him was the comparisons of what he's doing here with this defense compared to what he did at Clemson. And does it feel familiar?
Yeah, it's pretty much similar. You know, just be aggressive up front, linebackers flow off of, and we just all play off each other. We feed off each other, and we're just trying to make plays in the backfield.
That being said about it, do you feel like it kind of fits your style of play, where you're at as a defensive lineman, more than you maybe did last year?
Yeah, I would say I definitely prefer this a little more, just because, you know, you can use your athleticism. You don't have to think as much. You just get upfield and you play your box as they come.
We are joined by Rook Arouro live from Falcons training camp out in Flowery Branch on the morning shift. What is your experience here at training camp this year versus your rookie year?
I would say this year it's not new. You know, when stuff is new, it could kind of be, I wouldn't say overwhelming, but you've never done it before, so just the unknown. But now it's not unknown. I know the coaches. I'm familiar with the way practice goes, and just knowing that I've done it before, and just to go out there and do it again now, this time at a higher level, it's just even much more better. Especially that I'm not a rookie no more. So,
well, let's talk about that defense line room a little bit. Obviously, the departure of Grady Jarrett, Eddie Goldman, you step into a little bit more of a veteran role. Talk to us about the personalities in that room, because from the outside, you know, looking at the fact that they obviously trust in Brandon Dorlus, Braylon Trice, some of the second-year guys, did not replace some of the departures. And so they obviously expect you guys to step into that. But talk to us about the leadership, yourself, David Onyemata, some of those other guys.
Definitely. Yeah, we got some really good vets in the room. Street, he's on year 8. You got Fox and O, they're on year 10. So just having guys that's been playing at a high level, it's hard to stay in this league for a long time. And those guys have been there for a long time. And so with a lot of young guys in the room, it's a great mix because you can learn so much from them. Like, we're always asking questions to them, and they have the answer to every single question because they've seen every block, they've played every block, and they've played a ton of snaps. So why not get all that knowledge from them?
Yeah, and I wondered that too with Morgan Fox coming over. It seems like he's played a little bit of head up five, you know, the four eye, B gap. You are kind of modeled that way where you can do a little bit of everything up and down the line of scrimmage. What do you prefer to do? Do you prefer to be out over the offensive tackle? You like getting in any of that A-gap work against the big fellas inside? Where do you prefer to be at?
Me, I'll play anywhere, honestly. Just as long as my hand in the dirt and I'm going out there to play football, you can put me from the 0 to a 9 and I'll play it.
I love it.
Yes, sir.
I love
it.
Now, Root, one of us in this room is the enemy for you because this guy played offensive line here and then in Alabama. So when you're moving all over the line, and really especially when you go against the other ones, is there a guy that maybe you either want to go against because of sharpening, or you kind of like going against, or don't want to go against?
I like going against all the guys, especially in the interior. You know, we got Chris Lindstrom, we got Bergeron, and they're two different players. So you get work different ways and different sides. You know, one has a bigger body, and not, to me, one's more fast. And so just getting that work and mixing it in from both great guys, you know, it's really good for me and my development.
Joined here by Rook Arouro on the morning shift. All right, Nate Oley comes to town. This is a guy that's been across the league. He's done some pretty good things. How's your time been so far working with him? Because he's gotten some guys up to speed in this league.
Yeah, nah, it's definitely been fun, man. He's bringing a lot of energy. He's the same every day. He's consistent, and we feed off of that energy. We go out there, and we play hard, and he coaches hard, and he demands a lot from us, and that's great. As a competitor, you want a lot to be demanded from you because it brings so much more stuff out of you that you didn't even know you had. So it's been really good working with him.
And since we're at training camp, we got to know, who are you rooming with?
Shoot, it's me, Trice, Brandon, and Simeon.
Yeah. All right, who is controlling the aux? Who brought a console? What's the vibe in there?
If I'm being honest, I don't even hear none of them. Like, sometimes I come home, everybody's door closed, and like, it doesn't even feel like anybody's home, if I'm being honest. We leave at different times. I wake up and nobody's there, but I always see them at work. So, yeah.
I love it.
That seems like a pretty good group. All right, we'll finish up with this. Rook Arouro, defensive lineman for the Atlanta Falcons. Let's talk about the vibes out at practice. Now, a lot has been made about James Pierce and the fights and the chaos. chaos that comes with that. Now, when you see a rookie like a James Pierce start to square up with another guy, all right, do you run in blindly as like, oh, that's a defense, like I got to have his back? Or do you run in there and you're like, whoa, Rook, calm down. That's a good dude. Matthew Bergeron's a good dude. Like, how do you kind of balance that as you fly in to try to help separate things?
Me personally, I just run in there, one, because I just want to see the vibes. You know, if it's a one-on-one, let it be that. If more people jump in, I'm going to be right there with my boys. But honestly, man, when you're in the trenches, it gets physical, man. You know how it goes. Yeah. You're in the trenches, it gets physical. Sparks fly. And sometimes you got to duke it out a little bit and shake hands at the end of the day and be best friends right in the locker room again. So it's all fun and games. It's all good, man. And I'm really excited.
That is Rook Aro with the morning shift. And Mike, you know, he is a guy, again, that says he feels more familiar with the system.
Right.
The defensive guys up front have been talking about this being an attacking-style defense, which, again, we alluded to yesterday for you guys, saying, hey, less thinking, more getting after it, right? Let's stop thinking about where we need to be, and Rook does like that. And if you're asking us, okay, so how's his camp been? Hard to tell.
Yeah, because in the interior of the line, not trying to make excuses, it's sometimes more difficult. And sometimes it's from vantage point, because sometimes when they're doing 11 on 11, we're maybe shielded by the guys on the bench, so, or what would be the bench, so you can't see it. But, you know, he is still, as I said, I'm not trying to harp on it, I'm just stating facts. When you move up to get a guy, you consider him one of the top 40 players. He was drafted 35th overall. Is he popping enough?
So,
guys asked me literally today at the bar, and I said, I really like Rook. You just heard what a likable guy he is in the conversation.
Sure.
Is he jumping off the what we're watching? Maybe not.
I'll say this. There are times, especially in the interior D-line, where you're taking on a double team, okay, on a running play.
You're doing the dirty work.
Correct. And you don't get moved, but yet the linebacker is able to make a play, or somebody else on your D-line is able to slide in and fill the gap. You're doing your job. And doing your job sometimes, especially for those guys, is a little misleading, because we can rate a James Pierce Jr. or a Jalen Walker differently coming off the edge when they don't get pressures or sacks.
Right.
I can't tell you if Rook gets double teamed, Mike, 16 times in a game and he held his own and we're able to slow down their run game and he was a big reason because of it, but yet he didn't make the tackles. He was in on some tackles, but he didn't have, you know, 9 solos.
But if he disrupts it, Cade Nellis cleans up, then mission accomplished.
Correct. Right. So it's hard sometimes to determine that. And I'm just saying that you want to get into the minutia of it. Like, that's what we're talking about here. That's why you need those big guys up front to be the ground, you know, the groundbreaking guys, right, as far as being able to hold their ground and make sure that other guys are able to flow. But if you're asking me, has he been in on numerous pressures or sacks? No, he hasn't.
No,
that hasn't happened.
But that goes back to you and I debating about the 4-3 versus the 3-4. Yes, you're in nickel so much, so it's kind of negligible. I just like – I don't know, Carl, maybe it's just watching the Falcons over the years. Fell in love with the bomb squad in 98. I like a 4-3. You know, I thought we were always better in a 4-3. But the personnel for the 3-4, you've got to have some really big dogs. That's why I always felt Grady was kind of miscast in that defense.
Sure.
But Rook is a huge guy. And Zach Harrison kicking inside, that's a big body right there. But Rook, there's a lot expected from him. So it might not translate, as Carl just pointed out, on the stat sheet. And that's why I don't want to say anything like, I'm not going to say he's a butt. That's ridiculous. He's only played 8 games in his NFL career.
No.
But there's expectations, though. For instance, they moved up. They move up a lot in the second round under Terry Fontenot. They moved up to get Bergeron. Matthew Bergeron's been a stud.
He has.
And they moved up to get Rook. And we're waiting to see. And maybe surrounded by better talent, we will find out. But there's a part of me that thinks some of these guys would be better off in a 4-3, but that doesn't matter. Not what we're doing.
Yeah, because I think, you know, part of this is Jeff Ulbrich came in and they evaluated that. Look, Ra has run both. I think Jeff Ulbrich has been in both situations where they've run 3-4 or 4-3. You come in, Mike, and you look at the personnel and you say, what fits us best? And then you try to do whatever that is. And I think that's why there's going to be a combination of both of those defenses. And you're going to see a little bit of both. But look, the judgment on Rook is still out. I do expect big things of him because I have seen this. This is why I'm positive on Rook. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're broadcasting live from Buffalo's Cafe, guys, in Flower Branch. More NFL conversation coming up. We'll tell you what's going on around the league here in 4th and 1 on the way. But I've seen him push people around. And I saw that last year in real games where he was moving people and moving the pile. he didn't play enough to see the dividends of that because he got injured. But I saw that enough to feel good about where he's going. Now, Mike, they may be asking him to do something different. And he talked about it. Maybe instead of me just holding guys off and pushing guys around, maybe I'm getting upfield now and I'm attacking in a different way. So we'll see. I hope that he is a difference maker. But the guys that have needed to pop, for the most part, the guys, especially the rookies, Mike, we've seen a bunch of those guys do that with some of the plays they've already made here in practice.
No, we talked about the job that Raheem did. You know, Sean McVay, the Rams did a 3-4. Wade Phillips, you know, was his DC. We're talking about going back to Sean McVay's early years with the Rams. And then, you know, went through some different changes. But it is interesting to see, you know, how, you know, Raheem Morris, and they changed some of the perspective and how they do it. Now, again, it doesn't matter because you are in that nickel. And you said it earlier in the week, like the dime package so much. Because so many situations are throwing situations. Just play to your strengths. But I am envious. I do look at what the Rams have right now. They got studs in their front seven. You know, we think we've got
drafted some studs.
And we think we've got some studs, but we just it's really imperative, and again, bringing it back to the conversation we just replayed with Rook, that Rook is that disruptive force, that Rook plays like one of the top 50 guys in that 2024 NFL draft.
404-726-0929, that's the number for you to hit us up, as well as for you to text us. Tyler Algier on the way, as Mike and I spent some time with him today. He had a really good scrimmage today, by the way, as the Falcons did scrimmage. If you're going, hey, what happened in practice? All around pretty good day, man. I thought the effort and the energy was good.
Real game situation. They even had like a mini halftime.
They did. He made them go in. Get out. Get off the field. Because you're trying to get real simulated work in, and you can't do that through individual drills and hitting dummies, man. You got to go live, and you got to be on guys. I love the.
You mean the robot tackling dummies we saw 10 years ago didn't work?
Well, they work, but it's not game situation. I love to see the offensive linemen coming off the field and talking to each other about what they were seeing out there. And
right.
It felt like, again, a real game from that standpoint because the D-line was doing some things. There were stunts that were happening, and that was kind of cool as well. But as far as the scrimmage today, good work, man. And I thought the offense, if you're asking, who won, Dukes? Offense did a good job. There were plays on the defense. Again, Leonard Floyd had a pick six. So, I mean, like, there were plays all the way around.
And we got to see, you know, we talked about, you know, Jalen Walker out there, number 11. A lot of guys were asking me today at the bar. We got here. We're at Buffalo's Cafe here at Flowery Branch. Come on down, join the party. It's funny, but Pierce, I mean, is he in the middle of every scrum? Because guys were asking us, one of the guys at the bar today goes, is he going to be a liability?
No.
And you and I were joking around. He's not going to be Draymond Green. I mean, I'd like to think he's not going to be that same guy in the regular season because that's 15 yards. That hurts.
Now you're costing.
And that's first downs.
Yeah.
And we've seen enough of those over our years on third down. But as Falcon fans, but I just think he brings an intensity. And I do think the coaches are allowing it to progress. And it will evolve. But I think they love what he's bringing because he keeps everybody on their toes. Right?
I agree. He's not kicking people in the balls, okay?
No, this is not John Matuszak or
correct.
Lyle Alzado.
Yes, okay? This is not wrestling, okay? I mean, like, I want to be clear about this. When we talk about him starting stuff, either he's upset because somebody has grabbed his face mask or had a hand to his face or something like that, and then it escalates. But then it's over. I mean, like, we're not talking about throwing punches and all that kind of stuff. The point is, though, the intensity for not allowing anything to be put over on him is what we're dealing with. Like, if I don't like something, I'm going to let you know about it. And I've said all along, like, this gets back to my phrase, we don't have enough killers on this team. Those are the kind of guys that I want. I want an intensity, Mike, that comes with how you play. And then, oh, by the way, he's backing it up. That's the other way. He's backing it up.
No, I mean, the thing is about Pierce, you'll hear our conversation coming up with Tyler Algier. We even asked Tyler about him because just to get his perception from being in the offensive backfield. But, I mean, we don't want to, like, oversell it. But as Carl said, I think you said this on the show at Hooters on Monday, he's a factor. Every day he's involved in something, and he's getting pressure on the quarterback. He would have had 2 sacks minimum today.
Today, yeah, he would have. Hey, man, we got a lot more to dive into. Coming up, 4th and 1s on the way. Keenan Allen back with his old team. Also, the tweet.
Hashtag fantasy football killer.
The tweet, yeah, he killed me a couple of years ago. The tweet from Dak Prescott about his teammate. Ooh. What was he insinuating? It's Dukes and Bell.